Today is July 12th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $19,398.02.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. Well, you know, we don't know yet, but we're pretty sure that we're officially in a recession right now. So,
yeah, I don't think we'll see the official. Well, and I wonder the White House. I don't know if it was a press secretary or whoever she was when she was like, we don't see a recession, you know, on the horizon. I'm like, really? What world are you in? So I don't know when they're going to announce the recession is official.
Whenever the GDP numbers come in, which is probably sometime late this month. Well, realistically, early August.
Yeah, I would say maybe late July. We'll see the, you know, the second quarter of downward or negative growth within the economy. And at that point, then they'll be like, okay, well, there's a recession. And I'm like, man, that kills me. Like, I don't understand how people can buy into that. One, I mean, the whole inflation talk, like, you knew they were double speaking the whole time. They're like, well, it's transitory. Inflation's not going to stay.
It's not here to stay. Yeah. And you just look at how many people actually believe it. And now they're going to try and blame it on free market capitalism here next. So they've already started, but it is what it is.
But you need to not charge so much money for gasoline.
Yeah, blaming the freaking gas stations that are... Yeah, I think their margins on gas are not that high to begin with. I think they make their money on the convenience stuff inside.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you got always have a convenience store attached with the gas, right?
Yep.
And
it's kind of like when they sell popcorn at movies. Same thing.
Yeah, they don't make money on the movies themselves. Like they do make some money, don't get me wrong, but not enough to make it super profitable. That's why you pay $5 for a bag of M&Ms, you know?
Exactly.
That's where they're making their money. It's always the add-on sales, right? And that's always been business 101. It's your add-ons that where you make your cash.
Yep. Always, but it's just kind of funny that he's blaming gas stations right now. It's just like, how stupid do you think we are?
Yeah. Interesting times for sure. I did finish off two books this past, I guess, 2 weeks, because we haven't recorded in almost 2 weeks, right?
I think so.
We were both
out of pocket.
Yeah, I did two books. One was The Price of Tomorrow, which is actually a really interesting read, basically talking about, you know, we've got to be prepared for, you know, what's coming. And, you know, and he was talking about the economy and how unsustainable everything is, and how we can actually transition into the time of abundance because of technology, you know, that's coming out, and whether or not we'll be embracing that. I mean, because what's going to happen is the economic system is going to try and fight against that negative growth so hard. That's what's really going to do us over. But he's like, if we just let it kind of happen naturally instead of intervening all the time, and that's the biggest problem is we've intervened so much, right? We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
You kicked so far down the road.
Well, that's basically what's been happening since like 2000. I mean, we know that that's what happened in 2008, but like everything that we've seen since 2000, since that economic crash, the dot-com bubble, mm-hmm. basically. They've just been kicking the can down the road, lowering interest rates. I mean, back before that, interest rates were probably somewhere around, 8% or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of nowadays. And then the other thing is, you know, CPI comes out tomorrow, and we know that, you know, they're trying to fight inflation by raising the interest rates by 75 basis points or something like that?
Yeah.
And the last time they did it, they went like 20% just overnight. Bam.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and that's... It's one of those things where... And They've got to, and we've talked about this, they've got to crash the assets in order to make him feel like they're bringing CPI or the inflation rate under control. Because that's the only thing that's going to stop the consumer spending that's taking place.
Well, that and high gas prices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. The sad thing is that the people that get hurt by it the most are always still the people that were always hurt by this stuff the most. You know, it's your lower middle class and you're poor.
Yep.
Even your middle class is going to take a pretty big hit from this thing. Depending on where you're at. Yep. I mean, you can make pretty good money depending on your area that you'll probably be okay, but that's as long as your jobs hold out.
It's true.
And that's, you know, and that's the other turn of that tape that, you know, they've talked about. There's been murmurs. We've seen it a lot within the crypto economy where you're seeing a lot of layoffs starting to happen across the board from these big exchanges and stuff like that. But that's because they're all getting ready to survive the storm.
Well, heck, even Elon Musk was talking about it here recently. Coinbase stopped. They froze their new hires. They offered them jobs and they pulled it out on them. And then they're talking about reducing their workforce, too. So, I mean, a lot of places know what's coming. They're preparing.
Yeah. The other book that I finished off this week was Layered Money, which was actually a really interesting read. And basically, you know, how does that look for Bitcoin to become the reserve asset of the world? And why, you know, that's a very good potential. And that the biggest reason is because it's truly neutral.
Absolutely.
It doesn't care who holds it, you know, and it doesn't matter what government puts political influence onto it. They can't do anything about that part of it.
That's the true revolution with Bitcoin. And when it comes to that, I mean, it's only Bitcoin that really operates like that. I guess there's some others that would, but
None of them really have. At least, I mean, you could kind of say Shiba Inu has that pseudo-anonymous creator, but, like, I mean, other than that, like, there's no central figurehead of Bitcoin. The people that have done any type of upgrades or anything like that, yeah, they probably own Bitcoin, but they get no incentive from Bitcoin to do the upgrades. It's just because they believe in it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we've talked about this before, too, like with the Republic of Central Africa. When they adopted it as their currency, I mean, the big thing for them is that they don't have to worry about building banks or having this payment infrastructure in place. Bitcoin does it all already. The protocol lying at the heart of it takes care of all of that for you. So that infrastructure is taken care of. And then it's people like, you know, like you and me that run nodes and those types of things where we're securing the network. And then along with the miners, you know, the hash rates and all that stuff. And that's something, maybe I should pull up hash rate and just kind of see where we're at with that. We were talking briefly beforehand, too. Apparently, there was a run on China banks. What do you know about that? Have you heard a whole lot?
No. The only thing I know is that a lot of customers in the banks in China, and I think it's only one province that you mentioned, that... doing this in, but they're not able to pull out their savings or any money out of the bank.
And I mean, China's a big place. I can only imagine that that would overflow or, you know, spill out into other parts of China. But who knows? They're so crazy over there. One of the things that I think is interesting when you talk about, you know, we've talked about the dollar no longer being the reserve currency, and maybe possibly it becomes the Chinese, is it the renminbi or the yuan?
Yuan.
You know, if that does take place, the weird thing about China is that they have such strict capital controls, they won't let their money leave the country for the most part.
Exactly.
So, I mean, one of the things that is essential to being a global currency, and that's one of the things whenever I went through that Layered Money book, you know, they were talking about was that not only was the United States inflating the dollar, you know, through loans and those types of mechanisms, but then the European banks were doing the same thing and they didn't have to follow the same restrictions the United States did. So they were printing on their own, you know, and so the Fed wasn't even able to keep track of how many dollars were actually out there.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about China that you got to look at is, you know, before the 2020 WooFlu, their growth rate was always like 3%. That's just basically one giant country of, it's like a Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme where all the books are cooked. You can't trust any of the numbers. So, I mean, you know, I know that people are jockeying for the world reserve currency, but that's the interesting thing is there's no currency that really can stand up to Bitcoin, I don't think, long term.
No, I don't think so either. So hash rate currently, just to kind of go back, because I was pulling that up while we were talking there. So our high was 257 exahashes. And that was, it looks like that was June 8th. And that's the highest it's ever been. And right now we're at 209 exahashes. So we're still actually riding pretty good. We've lost, I mean, some miners are probably unplugged, but I saw a chart the other day. I should have shared it with you. It was just basically a chart of what it costs to mine Bitcoin in the United States by state. You know, how much it costs you electricity-wise. Like, what are your costs to basically mine that? And the most expensive was Hawaii.
I can kind of see that.
$53,000 to mine a single Bitcoin. To mine Bitcoin.
One coin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like a fair deal.
I'm sure that's purely electricity costs, right? Like, I don't think they're factoring in hardware or anything like that.
Yeah, your pool costs.
Yep.
Whatever else. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's just the electricity. New Mexico was not the cheapest. I think Texas was actually about $2,000 cheaper than us. It was like $18,000 per Bitcoin in New Mexico. Texas, I want to say, was 16 something. But it seemed like the average was right around that $16,000 mark. And that's kind of interesting because at that point, if you see Bitcoin drop to, you know, the $14,000, $50,000 range, I'm guessing that hash rate chart's going to drop significantly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we had some huge mining rig and it all of a sudden hits, you know, say 14,000, and you said it's 18 here?
Yeah, 18 in New Mexico.
I mean, we're all of a sudden losing a lot of money with all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. And kind of circling back here, we were talking about CPI. CPI numbers are going to come out tomorrow. We're going to have to do another recording later on this week just to kind of come out and see what that actually looked like. What are your predictions? What do you think it'll be?
What was it last month?
Last month was, it looks like they're saying it was 8.6%.
Yeah, I was thinking that what's what it was, but I just couldn't remember off the top of my head. So I think it's going to be minimum 8.6, probably 8.7. Something like that, 8.8 maybe.
Yeah, I think they're forecasting right now. I think I've seen between 8.8 and 8.9 is what I've seen forecasted for the actual inflation numbers. So we will have to see what plays out tomorrow. We should know pretty early in the morning. I'm kind of curious to see what it comes out at. Markets are going to react strongly depending on what those numbers come out at. I can't imagine anybody that's expecting it to come out below. If it does, on the other hand, though, then that'll be tremendous for the asset markets. I don't see that. I mean, unless it's just complete balderdash. I mean, if they're lying completely about it, then maybe it'll come out lower, but I don't see that being possible.
Well, as I see it now, the way they count inflation, they're still cooking the books. They're definitely minimizing we're actually seeing in the real world.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think we've talked about that, where I think it's at least double of what we're seeing on the CPI.
Absolutely.
And then it's always kind of a weird thing though, too, because I mean, it depends on what you're looking at, you know, as to what's actually inflating at what, because not everything inflates the same way. So, but yeah, I'd say for the consumers, I'd say it's at least double of whatever we're seeing. I'd say if we're sitting at 8.6, we're probably looking at 14 to 16%, right?
Easy. So what do you think that's going to do with Bitcoin? I mean, we know it's going to put all the markets in kind of a tizzy.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it kind of almost looks like people know what's coming and they're almost pricing in the high inflation rate for tomorrow, because it's kind of, sentiment is definitely down on trading today.
Yeah. Yeah, if you saw, there was a big kind of windfall. Was it last week? Last week was so crazy, or the week before, where we had kind of kissed back up to 22,000.
Yeah, it was last week.
And then we started to come back down again. But it just seems like, I think I kind of overestimated. I figured there was going to be relief time since the last CPI numbers came out and the actual interest rate was released. I figured we'd have like 2 to 3 weeks of kind of like, it'll start to recover kind of thing. And we did slightly, but not the way that I was expecting. I thought it was going to recover a little bit better than that. So I think tomorrow, and considering we've stayed basically this range bound between, you could even say 18,000 up to 22,000 is kind of our range that we're stuck in. I think we're going to stay there.
Yeah. I think we're going to, well, I saw earlier, was it today or yesterday, it kissed 20,000. It just barely brushed up against it and then went back down. I think the next, it's going to try and do that at 19,000 going forward is my guess.
You think 19,000 will become the new kind of high?
The new kind of the new band. So like I wouldn't be surprised if it trades between 17 and 19 for a little while going forward.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. I was reading one article and it like I said, looking at that chart, the one talking about, you know, what it costs for mining Bitcoin within each state in the United States, there's that $14,000 that I've been hearing a little bit more frequently now as being what is going to be our bottom. And that would make a lot of sense. Like at that point, a lot of places are going to pull the plug. That's where it's going to be like, well, that's really like we're losing money, right? Like there's nothing we can do. And I don't, there is a lot of buying pressure, like at the levels that we're at right now where people are going to purchase because it is a steal. Let's be honest. It is a steal.
Well, at least for over the past year and a half, 2 years or so, right? Mm-hmm. Year and a half.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it goes back to anytime, if you can hold Bitcoin for at least 4 years, you're always going to be in profit.
Historically, that's been the truth. But this is kind of unprecedented what we're seeing right now as well. So
I've got to
temper that a little bit.
It is. However, I mean, I do think, you know, like I said, what it comes down to is if it goes to where we are falling apart at the seams, they will print the money.
Absolutely. Well, you got to stop the bleeding.
Bitcoin, well, yeah, and I mean, all you're doing is forcing more blood through the wound, but Bitcoin will bounce off of that. That will ride off of those. You know, whenever that quantitative easing happens, they will do that. Bitcoin will recover from that. Or it will, and I won't say necessarily recover. And I don't want Bitcoin to be that kind of an asset class, but that's unfortunately the economics that we're in the United States.
Yeah. Well, you know, until it gets the mass and it gets adoption, further, it's going to be kind of this, it's still speculative. Mm-hmm. Until we start putting it in action, it's still speculative.
Yeah, and something interesting, too, talking about the adoption part of that, today Bitcoin hit a milestone. 1 billion wallets are now active on the Bitcoin network.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
And just by six more to go.
Just by comparison, I mean, and obviously, you know, we know that not everybody, that the 1 billion is not one person per wallet, right? But yeah. I think it was kind of interesting because that, like I said, that Layered Money, the book that I was reading, it was kind of going into 2020. It may have been published in 2021, but you know, he was talking basically at that time. He's like, "Well, there's 100 million people with Bitcoin," so I mean, that number has grown significantly over the past couple of years, which is a good thing. That network effect is what we need.
Yeah,
and he seems to think that you know, he was. Because we've talked about CBDCs on here, right?
Yes.
And he was talking about how what's going to happen with the CBDCs is they're going to get valued in Bitcoin. If Bitcoin can make sure atomic swaps work on the network. And it goes back, he was going back to saying because it is the only neutral currency. It's the only one that doesn't give a, you know, doesn't care about your sovereignty or anything like that, doesn't care what digital currency you have. Those will all be backed by Bitcoin.
and you can take it with you wherever you go.
Yep. Yeah. And he was like, you may have your Fed coins or whatever those cases may be to pay your taxes within your local countries. He said, you'll probably have banking coins, like as a stable coin of some type that I'll offer you interest, when you hold it in that, type of account, and then you'll have it all backed by Bitcoin, which is the truly free money that allows you to go anywhere with it.
That's an interesting thought.
It was. I was like, huh. I can't say that I'm totally sold on that because, I really don't like the idea of the CBDCs, but interesting for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're talking doom and gloom right now, but at some point we know that the economy's going to just drop out from underneath us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there, I don't know what the thing will be, but I know, well, I don't know, but I predict that Bitcoin will just skyrocket. And it probably will be by the end of this year. Definitely by the end of next year, it's going to skyrocket. I don't know what it's going to take to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if we are going to follow any type of a cycle, which I mean, we've blown the cycles out of the water completely with Bitcoin this time. Not only because we didn't, go as high as what we had kind of in the past or anything like that, but because if we are approaching another halving, it's about a year and a half away, maybe.
Yep.
So, I mean, at that point, every time that we've gone to a halving, it starts to build up like 8 to 9 months before you'll start to see the curve start to turn, because people that are aware of what's about to happen. The issuing rate of Bitcoin is about to be cut in half. We're at 6.3 or something like that. We're about to go down to 3.
Yep.
That's going to be... That's not very much Bitcoin. That's going to get released.
Yeah, which will increase the scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Increase the value.
Yep.
As the beauty of Bitcoin, I mean, it's not only just scarce, but we know how many there's going to ever be mined. 21 yep. million. That's it.
It doesn't matter how popular it becomes. It doesn't matter how much it goes on price. It doesn't matter how much the United States wants to buy up Bitcoin. They can't make it produce more of it. And maybe they could for like a week or something like that. But then the difficulty rating will kick in and it'll drop that back down and be like, nope, you cannot do that.
It'll just crush it down that much further.
Yeah.
The next one.
Exactly. And I mean, ingenious, man. I don't know. I'm so blown away when I think about the way he had the force.
That's way better than gold. Yeah. We can always find more gold. You're never going to find more Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Freaking genius. Incredible.
Anyways, yeah, and I don't want to be overly gloomy either, but I mean, that's just the way things are. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I just want to say, if you haven't gotten into Bitcoin, I mean... If I was you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some more. So just ponder that.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. When you got people that are looking at the markets right now and you get people that are like, oh, well, don't you wish you sold? It's like, well, actually, at this point right now, I want to buy more. And if I did sell at the higher price level, it was only to buy more at this level.
Yeah, that's basically, I would have just increased my position.
Yeah. I'm not, I believe in it though. So anyways, hopefully we'll reconvene again here within the next couple days. I really want to talk about the CPI numbers with you, and we'll see what that kind of does to the market. So
alrighty, man, sounds good.
Cool. Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.
Bye
bye.